today on Real Radio.
You might look and say, I wouldn't have that Messiah. Are you kidding me? I want a Savior that's punching people in the face and blowing things up. I want a Rambo Redeemer. Pride says that. Let's be honest. Come on. I understand it looks really goofy, but if you've read your Bible 2,000 years ago, you got to be thinking.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah. And by arriving, we mean a sequence of events that Bible prophecy spoke of, including the physical return of Jesus Christ here to the earth. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 63, we learned that we are living in a time of God's grace. Ever since the time of the cross, God has dealt with us patiently. But the time of God holding back his judgment, well, pretty soon it's going to come to an end. And the great tribulation period will begin. God is holy, he's pure, and he's just. And he's got a righteous anger. He despises all that is wrong in this world, and he wants us to know eternal life in heaven is waiting for those who cry out to the Lord to save them. So today, on day 2 of chapter 63, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus first came to the world to suffer, but he will return as a conqueror. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to sacrifice his own life, he was riding on a donkey, but when he returns, he'll come down like lightning onto the Temple Mount, ready for battle. And now continuing his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Righteous anger is an anger that comes from the place where righteousness is being violated. Now, none of us are to take the law into our own hands. We are not the judge. He is. But just know this as an internal witness for all of us. If you see injustice, you feel a little bit of what God feels in perfection. God's perfect. He can't sin. And so you see some terrible thing where you see some big burly man, 250-pound man, slapping his 7-year-old boy, just slapping him silly. And you're so grossed by that, you just turn away. Or you, isn't it amazing inside of you, there's a part of you that says, I must intervene. And then there's another voice that says in you, but I must preserve myself. No, I'm serious. This is real. I must preserve myself, but I must intervene. And did you know, because you've been created in the image of God, the greater force wins? A normal functioning human being says in a millisecond of time, self-preservation, rescue the other. Self-preservation, rescue the other. I'm going to rescue the other. That's why you read about people jumping into the ocean or in the river to save strangers. Either they save them or somebody drowns or they all drowned. But Jesus knew that. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amazing. 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 He says, their blood, look at verse 3, their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. What a tremendous statement. By the way, I mean this in a sarcastic way. Who is this? Why is your robe all splattered? And he confesses, it's me. I did it alone. That's not a confession of wrongdoing. That's a declaration of judgment. I'm the one. In his second coming, Jesus is going to be coming in judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3 says, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. In other words, God's timeless. He lives in eternity. Don't make a model out of one day, count days, 1,000 years, one day, one. Just don't do that. That's not what it means. He's saying, everything's in front of me. I'm eternal. The 1 minute, the 1,000 years, the 5 seconds, it's all the same to me. God says, I see it all in the same moment. Isn't that weird? God sees Hitler invading Europe right now. And he also sees the end of the age right now. Isn't it weird? He sees right now you, the day that you were born, and he sees the day of your death. He's eternal outside, just like the Goodyear blimp flies over the Rose Bowl parade. You know, you stand out there and you freeze to death waiting for that dumb McDonald's float to come by. And you, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And there's still people 2 hours later down Colorado Avenue. When's that McDonald's float gonna get here? And you saw it 2 hours ago because you live on a certain mark along the timeline. God's in the Goodyear blimp looking down saying, I see the Goodyear blimp. I see the marching band. I see the horse. Are you with me? He sees it all. So he says in verse 9 in 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's amazing. Remarkable. This is a slide I want you guys to see, and this is kind of fun. So remember, we're talking about the age of grace, church age. So from Matthew's gospel to Revelation chapter 4. Okay, at some point here, you have what is called the harpazo, or the rapture in Latin. When Jesus Christ comes back for the church, something has to happen before we who are alive and remain are caught up. Anybody remember? Come on, there's the hint right there. The dead in Christ rise first. Millisecond, nanosecond of time. Christ appears in the atmosphere. There's a trumpet blast, the shout, a voice of God, the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ rise first. That is the body of those. Listen, the Bible's very clear. It tells you exactly the sequence of it. He brings with him, it says, those who died believing in Jesus, which is amazing. The moment you die, according to the Bible, you still live in. You go with him, but your body's dead. We have a funeral service. We put you at Forest Lawn. That's just your body. The real you is not there. But for the believer, when he comes back to, imagine if the rapture is happening like an hour from now. That'd be awesome. So what's going to happen? Well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we will be caught up to meet them in the air, it says. By the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 onward, John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, and the dead in Christ rise, and if we're alive at that time, which I pray we would be, the rapture takes place. And at some point in time after the rapture, Daniel 9, 24 to 27 commences. The 7 years, the Bible says that Israel owes God 7 years. On March 14th, 445 BC, March 14th, 445 BC, Artaxerxes is a title. Artaxerxes Langimanus was the leader of the Medo-Persian Empire. And he's the one on March 14th, 445 BC, it's recorded in antiquity. He turns and he says to some guy by the name of Nehemiah, look, I'm sick of seeing you so sad and bummed. I'll fund it, I'll pay for it, and I'll give you a passport, but get out of here, Nehemiah, and get back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and the streets of your city that you're so worried about. Go. And that account is recorded in Daniel's prophecy. And so it says that from that commandment to go forth and restore and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah shall be translated into our English 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC. So you count this, by the way, the wonderful architect that solved this or at least he didn't solve it as much as Sir Robert Anderson did, but what Robert Anderson did in England from Scotland Yard, he was studying Sir Isaac Newton's commentary on the book of Daniel. And Isaac Newton was the one that did the math brilliantly, discovering that all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is not predicated upon a Gregorian calendar. It's predicated upon a Babylonian calendar. Isn't that interesting? Which, by the way, makes total sense. There's 365 doesn't fit anywhere. It's kind of dumb. 365. We use 360 in engineering, mathematics, chemistry, medicine, navigation. 360. A compass rose. What is that? 360. Nobody uses 365. And the Bible only uses 360 days in a year. 1 year in the Bible is 360 days. 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC is April 6th, 32 AD. So what? Daniel said, chapter 9, that on that day, the Messiah would arrive. The first coming. I'm going to tell you when the first coming was. It's not Bethlehem. It's not baby Jesus. That's not the first coming. There's a very specific day, according to the Bible, that the first coming of Christ was introduced to the Jewish people. And they were supposed to know it. They were commanded to know it in the Old Testament. They were supposed to be watching for it. And on April 6, 32 AD, Jesus said, I want you to go to a man in town. You'll see him. He'll have a pot. He'll be carrying a pot. I want you to go up to him. I want you to ask him, the master has need of your donkey. Can you imagine? Can I borrow your truck? You know, that kind of thing. And Jesus told those guys, you go and you say this, code word. You go to this guy and you tell him, the master has need of your donkey. Can you imagine those guys? You say it. No, Peter, go ahead. Let Peter say it. He'll say anything. The master has need of your donkey. And the guy goes, of course. Well, read the Bible carefully. Zechariah 9:9 tells us it had to be not just the donkey. It had to be a mama and a baby donkey that's never been ridden on. Now, let's be honest. One of the most ridiculous images in the Bible is about to take place. You have the one who's been walking around for 3.5 years, whose entire life was in technicolor scandal. From his conception to his mom's pregnancy, the rumors of her being unfaithful to Joseph. Remember all that stuff? Having to be born in Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Making an 88-mile trip to be born in Bethlehem. God moves the Roman Empire to issue an edict that everybody's got to go back to their origin of registry. For one baby to be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says that he had to be born in Bethlehem. Who? The one who's eternal. Look, I know your kid's cute. But your kid's birth wasn't prophesied and your kid's not eternal. The Bible says the eternal one is going to be born in Bethlehem. How can you be eternal and be born in Bethlehem? Micah 5, verse 2. And so this one, on April 6, 32 AD, gets on, not the mama donkey, gets on the baby donkey. Jesus' feet, honestly, donkeys are not tall animals to begin with. Jesus' feet are probably dragging on the dust. I mean, it's a foolish look. It's a foolish thing. It was intended to be that way because he came. Remember they said, you're the king? King of what? What is this, a joke? Yeah, he's a king. If you would have read your scriptures, you would have understood that Isaiah said he's got to come first to suffer, and then he's coming back to conquer. He comes first on a donkey, a beast of burden, humble, offering his life. And wouldn't that just fly in the face of pride? You might look and say, I wouldn't have that Messiah. Are you kidding me? I want a Savior that's punching people in the face and blowing things up. I want a Rambo Redeemer. Pride says that. Let's be honest. Come on. Pride says, that's my man. I want to go with the Rock kind of guy. Get Dwayne Johnson out here. That's my guy. If you were going to paint the story of a Savior, wouldn't you do that? Of course you would. Your pride would. And God knows that. Who wants a carpenter on the back of a donkey? I understand it looks really goofy, but if you've read your Bible, the Jewish scriptures, 2,000 years ago, you got to be thinking. And on April 6, 32 AD, Jesus came into Jerusalem. It's called Palm Sunday. That's why Jesus, while everybody's cheering, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who stone the prophets who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Because today," he said, "you did not recognize the day of your visitation." My arrival, that's what it means. The Messiah's coming, you missed it. And so now, your peace is taken from you, and your house will be leveled to the ground and destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. That happened on the 483rd year of Daniel's prophecy that God would deal specifically with Israel for 490 years. Take 483 from 490, and how many years do you have? Seven. That's why the tribulation is Jewish. That's why God's dealing with the end time event of the tribulation period is Jewish. That's why throughout Old and New Testament, God is focused and drilled down on Jerusalem. It's not the Jewish city. Remember, he says it's my city. That's why it's 7 years. Go ahead and put it on the screen, Jordan, one more time. Okay, so here's the 7 years. It's called Daniel's 70th week. Daniel, you can read Daniel 7. You can read also, you should put a 9 right there too. This is what we didn't get to tonight. Do you see this? This is what we got here tonight for. Christ descends. See, Jack, is that a mistake? No, it's not a mistake. During this time, you might be surprised to find out that the Old Testament prophets say that during that time, the Lord is going to fight for his people like he has fought in the days of battle. So you go, well, that's crazy. But when you go back and you look at the days of battle, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Chronicles, the Kings, when the Bible says, we'll read it next week if you care to come back. It says that he, God, was inserted himself in this battle with Israel. And he tells Joshua, this is funny. He tells Joshua, take the troops and go to war, but I'll do the fighting. I want to ask, how did he do it? And the Bible says he's going to do that again for Israel. Well, what's that going to look like? I don't know. Nobody knows. Except this, we have a hint. It says in Deuteronomy that when they were fighting, it says that God sent hailstones from the sky of great size, and it says that more of Israel's enemies died from the hailstones sent from the Lord than Israel by their swords. And the Bible says, and that's why it's here, this is not his coming with others. This is him coming alone. Who is this coming whose robes are splattered? When does that happen? At the second coming. Here, okay, you with me? Yes. When did your robes get splattered? Over here during this time. You see that? But we never got to that. So let's stand. It may take us 4 years to end the last three chapters. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have been delivered from stories, from the imagination of man. Your word is so direct and so powerful and shocking to all of us, and no one can escape it. That's the thing. And just when we think, well, man wrote the book, and it's just funny because if we think that, then, boy, man didn't write a very good book about himself. It exposes everything about us. Then someone, you might say, well, the Jew wrote it, and it makes the Jew look the worst. Well, and on it goes, and no man's mortal answer fits. So, Lord, tonight I just pray that while we're wrapping up here, God, that maybe as disjointed as this service was tonight, maybe tonight you were speaking to someone. And maybe tonight the consideration is the real target, and that is, if all of these things are to convince me that God is in control and that God has a plan, then the natural answer for your inquiry, friend, would be, does God have a plan for me? And as unworthy as you might think you are, and as rejected as you might be, or whatever you think, it's irrelevant, because tonight in this room, or for anyone who's watching right now, Jesus made it very clear, the most rank among sinners, when they bring their trash to Jesus, their sin and their junk to him, he says that person becomes the biggest God lover. It's the self-righteous individual that can barely squeak out a praise. But maybe you're here tonight and you're so lost and you know it. Now, we want all of you to know, first of all, we know what that's like. We've been there. But God does love you so very much that by his great plan, tonight you heard this message. And with the message comes to you tonight an invitation to say yes to Jesus Christ, to say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't understand this stuff, but this kind of freaked me out. And you're really big. And you're really something. And my mind is starting to wake up. It's almost as though there's a fog lifting from my head. And there's a little bit of hope that's starting to rise within me. And God, I'm calling out to you that Lord, I ask you to show me the realness of you tonight. I don't know where I'm at right now. Maybe I can say yes to you. Maybe tonight when I lay my head down, I don't know. But God, will you reveal yourself to me? Friend, pray that. Talk to him, right? Tell him that. You can say, yes, God, what he just said, that's what I want. Do you understand? He's alive. He's listening to your thoughts right now. This is not some sort of a supernatural fortune cookie event. This is not some sort of channeling spiritism. This is not those imitations. Almighty God has given you a book, a map, a love letter, a manual. It's called the Bible, and he wants you to know him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 2. So glad you could join us today. You know, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, he will always be with you. So, if you haven't asked him into your heart yet, why don't you do it today? Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Want to know more about God and salvation? Well, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or access it through the Real Life app and click on that tab that's labeled Know God. That's No, K-N-O-W, God. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.